Unit 49. One World, One Economy. The trends toward globalization began in earnest in the 1970s, when the system of fixed exchange rates, set up after World War II, was disrupted. This meant that the value of currencies would now be determined by the markets instead of individual governments. Over the next two decades, countries slowly began to remove their exchange controls. By 1990, nearly all major economies had got rid of restrictions on how much money could be moved in and out their countries. Other factors contributing to the rise of globalization are new communications technologies and better transportation systems. These have enabled companies to grow into multinationals, producing goods on one side of the planet and selling them on the other. Lower costs have also helped. The price of telephone calls, for instance, is cheaper now than at any time in history. But adjusting to this economic order is proving difficult. In the developed world, globalization is facing widespread public resistance. Critics complain that without the protection of trade barriers, jobs are being lost to workers in poorer countries, and wages for employees in rich countries are stagnant, except for a privileged few. Opponents of globalization also point to its effects on the workers in poorer countries. They agree that multinationals may be helping to reduce unemployment in the developing world, but they argue that the jobs are hardly worth having since they are low-paid and exploitative. Those in favor of globalization accuse their critics of being short-sighted protectionists. They claim a more integrated global economy will ultimately benefit everyone because it will enable countries to specialize in those areas where they perform best. Developing countries, with their higher populations and lower wages, will concentrate on labor-intensive industries, such as raw materials and manufacturing, in much the same way as Western countries did during the Industrial Revolution. The richer countries, on the other hand, will diversify into high-tech industry. The effect of this, say supporters, will be to improve productivity in all countries, leading to higher living standards. The free movement of capital will also help poorer countries to develop so they can play a full and active role in the world economy. Even supporters of globalization acknowledge, however, that there will be losers. At present, those suffering most are people working in labor-intensive industries in the developed world. Without the protection of trade barriers and the welfare states, their chances of improving their skills and living standards will disappear, resulting in a growing divide between rich and poor. But how close are we to a truly global economy? For the losers, probably too close. But in terms of real economic integration, there is still a long way to go. What is really holding globalization back is the lack of labor mobility. Labor markets remain overwhelmingly national, even in areas like the European Union, where citizens live and work in any EU country. The main reasons for this are language and cultural barriers, the lack of internationally recognized qualifications, and in some areas, strict immigration controls.